Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Cam, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, your Profit Evangelist. Thank you for listening in. We show you how to maximize your profits and your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. So we want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and definitely share. On the program, we have Jimmy V and Travis Miller, gravitationalmarketing.com. Check out that website. That's gravitationalmarketing.com. Jimmy V and Travis, they're two successful marketers who are anti-marketing. We're going to talk about that. I definitely want to talk about marketing, anti-marketing. Jimmy V and Travis Miller, they're co-authors of the new book, Gravitational Marketing, The Science of Attracting Customers. Want to listen to that. They're two leading experts on attracting customers to small businesses, entrepreneurial startups, sales professionals, and they created a powerful concept called gravitational marketing to show, one, how they can naturally attract a steady stream of qualified prospects. That's what it's all about, prospects, clients, sales. Get you to pay more, stay longer, and gladly refer their friends and families. These former classmates spent 6 years at an advertising agency, I think it's DeFalco Advertising, where they converted, get this, they converted $96 million worth of advertising, that's a lot of money, into how much? About $12 billion, that's why I said billion dollars in sales. Their marketing insights have been applied all over the world, China, Poland, Great Britain, Holland, South Africa, Canada, and their marketing message is heard all around every major market here in the United States. Travis and Jimmy B, welcome to the show. Before I bring you on, how much is this costing me for this show, by the way?
Well, Kenneth, after that introduction, man, woo!
That's priceless.
I'm going to have to pay you for that. That was good.
Mr. Passion, Ken, we're glad to be here.
Thank you, thank you. So let me ask a very basic question before we get started. What is marketing? What is marketing? Because I'm an entrepreneur. But what is marketing? Define marketing for us.
That's a good question. I bet there's as many different answers as there are marketers or so-called marketing experts. And maybe Jimmy and I will agree on this, but if you were to ask me, I would say marketing is the process by which you get someone to pay attention to you all the way through the point to where they pay money to you.
I like that. I like that. So, you know, when I think of marketing, I think of the suits on the 17th floor or maybe the 50th floor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know, lots of theory, you know. Yeah, I've never been in marketing. I have to confess that. I've never been in marketing.
Yeah.
So how practical is this stuff?
Oh, see, that's a great question, Ken. I mean, really, and a lot of people do have that view of marketing. You know, my best friend growing up is a marketing and brand manager for a very large pharmaceutical firm. And it just so happens that he didn't really do what I consider real marketing. Marketing is something that happens really on the ground floor. Marketing happens at the reception desk. Marketing happens in the mail room. Marketing happens in the phone room. Marketing happens in sales.
Marketing happens on the street.
Marketing happens on the street. It happens at every level of the company. Effective marketing happens everywhere. Marketing should permeate every department, every concept, every person, every employee, every customer.
Every product decision.
Absolutely.
Every service decision.
Effective marketing is truly built into a company. See, it's not like a salve. A lot of people think of marketing as like the product is made, the process is put in place, the people are put there. By the way, this large company, small company, whether you're a solo entrepreneur working in a bedroom somewhere or a small business on a busy street corner or a big business in a Manhattan skyscraper, it doesn't matter. However big your business is, marketing is not something that you just apply to the surface or stick up on the 17th floor. Marketing is something that seeps into the soul of the entire company, and that's when marketing becomes effective.
I'm in heaven right now. So what I hear you saying is, I'm in sales. You know, I am in sales. I remember I was a certified financial planner way, way back in the 80s, and a guy asked me, he says, Ken, what business are you? I said, well, you know, I help people achieve their financial goals like retirement and education and build a cash reserve and an investment portfolio. He said, wrong, you're in sales. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. I said, okay, yeah. So I'm in sales. And so when I think of sales, mm-hmm. I'm on the front line, man. I'm right there, like, you know, Glengarry, Glenn Ross.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. Absolutely.
Alec Baldwin, he said, you know.
And my watch costs more than your car, pal.
He said, ABC, always be closing.
That's right.
Always be closing. Always be closing. I'm always closing, so I'm always selling. I'm asking people to buy. So, you know, so why do entrepreneurs need it?
Well,
this marketing stuff.
I'll tell you why. I mean, see, I actually, and you might not like me for this, Ken, but that's okay. I think we'll still be friends. You know,
okay.
When you watch those talk shows on cable news in the evenings and the people, they argue with each other and they get real heated and everything? You know, after that show, they all go out and get dinner together.
Yeah.
They like each other. So hopefully we'll still like each other after this. But here's
I
think
I like you guys already.
I think that sales is actually a function of marketing.
Absolutely, Travis. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And
I would say to you, Ken, that you're a marketer. You're in marketing.
Really? Okay. I'm thinking like that's like the Marines saying they're part of the Navy. I mean, well, actually, the Marines are part of the Navy. But the Navy
right.
is the big guns. We're the big guns. I'm the sales guy. I'm the big gun. The Navy, the Marine Corps assists us. But go ahead. I'll
tell you. But see, here's the problem. The mindset that you have is the mindset that most corporate sales and marketing people end up with because of this division of labor that happens.
Yeah.
Because the marketing guys are in suits on the, you know, on the 17th floor and the sales guys are on the ground having to actually like pound the pavement and bring in the cash, this rift gets created. Like, oh, you guys are just you know, sitting up there dreaming up ideas, drinking cafe lattes and I'm out there working.
But let's face it, when we're talking to a small business owner, you don't have 17 floors. You don't have multiple departments. You got a couple of people.
Yeah,
and so the marketer is the sales guy. The owner is the marketer. And you're the guy who answers the phone, too.
Absolutely. I'm feeling that. That is
right.
Great.
And you know what? What? If you can embrace the marketing part of it, it actually makes the hardcore sales part of your job a lot simpler, because what you do with effective marketing, what can happen if you utilize effective marketing properly is make sales before you actually have to confront people one-on-one, face-to-face. So the selling job becomes easier, and the cycle actually can be reduced or shortened in
well,
time.
You know, marketing, really, here's the thing. You know, you said the Marines assist the Navy, right?
That's
marketing,
right.
Marketing assists sales. There's no doubt about that. But marketing makes the selling process enjoyable, simple, and prosperous.
Okay.
ESP.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, sales, you know, a lot of people have trouble with sales. But, you know, here's why we got into marketing, Ken, and here's why we wrote a book about marketing. Because when we started out our business, we had $200 in the bank, okay? I put in $100, Jim put in $100, and guess what? The bank charged a $30 fee to have the account. And then we went out and we bought a speakerphone, all right? So we were running out of money really fast. Now, to put this in context here, and maybe some of your listeners have been here before.
Or are there right now.
Yeah, this is 6 weeks before my wedding, and six
wow.
months before Jim's wedding. And our fiancés were kind of upset about this.
I would think so, too.
You
leave an ad agency.
Yeah.
And you go out on your own with $200.
Yeah, you two nutbags quit your six-figure jobs and go out and start a business with $200 and a harebrained idea. Are you nuts? But look, when you got the entrepreneurial bug, you got the bug. You got to do it. Wedding or no wedding. So we had $200. We had to do something, right? Well, so we went to the bookstore. You know, and we both have graduate degrees, okay? We went to a lot of college, but I got to tell you, the best and cheapest university in the universe is the bookstore or the library
is even cheaper.
Yeah. And so we went down to the bookstore and we started looking at books and reading books and devouring information, trying to figure this entrepreneurial, this business ownership thing out. And you know what we found out? That a lot of people were talking about sales, and it's real important, a lot of good information, like the kind of information that you give people, the way that you support people, Ken, it's critical, and that kind of information helped us a lot. But our problem was we had nobody to sell to. It was the two of us in a 10-by-10 room staring at each other in the walls going, who do we sell to?
Well, you know, you can learn a whole bunch of closes, and you can learn a whole bunch of tactics for getting repeat and referral business and selling more to your existing customers, and all of those things are wonderful. But when you're starting out and you don't have any customers to get repeat and referral business from, you don't have anyone to put a close on, now you've got a bigger problem on your hands. And guess what? Now that's where marketing has to come in, because you've got to generate leads, you've got to attract potential prospects, and then you've got to sell those prospects. You've got to close those prospects.
Yeah.
And let me ask you another question. Right? So what I hear you saying that marketing can be profitable. Is that what you're saying?
It better be profitable, because we don't do any. Because you don't want to be doing anything that ain't profitable in your business. That's number one.
I will go so far as to say this, Ken. Not only can marketing be profitable, and should it be profitable, but if you show me a business who doesn't do effective marketing, I'll show you a non-profitable business.
Okay. Which gets into the, I have a formula. It's actually three formulas. It's leads times conversion equals the number of sales, and then, I'm sorry, leads times the, I can't get this right. I'm the coach. But anyway, leads times,
good to
leads
me.
Times, yeah, leads times conversion rate equals the number of clients or customers.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Then the customers
okay.
or clients times the average sale times the number of sales equals your revenue.
Sure.
And then your revenue times your profit margin equals your profit. But the key thing is that you can have, you know, 50, 100, 200 leads, and this is what I hear you saying is, but if you can't convert those successfully, those prospects, those suspects, into paying clients and customers, you're out of business.
Well, yeah, that's right. But also, I'll take it a step further, Ken, and say, where did you get those leads to begin with? Now, if you, mm-hmm. now let me put this in two contexts. Let's go back to Glengarry Glen Ross. Remember, the boss walks in, and he hands them each a couple of index cards, and he says, here's your leads for the day.
Yeah.
Right? And that, I mean,
yes.
That's not a lot to work with, especially not since they'd already been given those same cards before, which is why they were willing to rob the place to get the Glengarry leads.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might be working at a company who gives you leads, and that's fine, okay? Now, you also might be an entrepreneur where nobody's giving you leads, so you've got to drum up the leads. So the first question is, how do you get your leads? Now, if you're the guy, if you're the entrepreneur who isn't given leads, or you're a sales guy who's given a phone book like I was when I started in sales, selling radio advertising, which is where I started out, they gave me a phone book, and then they gave me a list. You know, they said, well, they didn't give you a list. Well, they did give me a list. But you know what the list was? It was, they said, here's a list of people not to call because they're already on somebody else's list.
Welcome to sales.
Right? So a phone book and a do not call list. That's what I got. Consisted of any good leads out of the phone book.
That is tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Builds character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. So when you got no leads, okay, that are given, you got to come up with the leads. So marketing is how we get the leads. Now, if you're a guy who's given leads at the beginning of each week or at every day, or you wait for the round robin to turn and you get your leads doled out, well, that's great. But guess what? If you want to be a superstar, you could take matters into your own hands and go and generate your own leads on top of what the company gives you.
And you know what that does for you? That takes you out of the commodity game of being just a commodity salesperson for your company, and actually puts you in the category of write your own ticket, write your own paycheck, because any company in the world would gladly have a salesman who has the capacity and capability of generating their own leads effectively. That's the thing that most people can't do. Hell, most companies can't do it, let alone individual salesmen. So if you're a salesman and you can create a marketing system, a marketing machine that generates your own leads, well, you can basically go to any company and say, hey, I want to get a job here, and here's my terms, because I can generate leads on my own. And they'll take you in a heartbeat, because you become an asset instead of just another potential liability of someone who's going to soak up some time and a warm butt in the seat. Couple of draw checks, and hopefully you make something happen with a couple of sticks when you rub together.
Well, let's make something happen. Let's get into this book you wrote, Gravitational Marketing. So what is gravitational marketing?
Well, that's a good question. Gravitational marketing is the science of attracting customers. Let me ask you, have you ever heard of FedEx?
Yes.
Okay, good. You know how FedEx delivers customers? I'm sorry, delivers packages, right?
People come to them.
Well, and they deliver packages reliably and overnight.
Right, right.
Well,
yes.
Likewise, gravitational marketing delivers customers to your business reliably and overnight. Very similar in the way they work, except there are no planes or trucks or people in shorts involved. No men in shorts.
So this is
a process that you can utilize to reliably and predictably, like a machine, like turning a gear crank. You know how many times...
How many times
you turn that gear crank, you know how many leads are going to come out. That's what gravitational marketing ultimately creates for your business.
It's really the most effective way a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional can double their customer base in short order, 12 months. If you use the process, you can gravitate, captivate, invigorate, and motivate prospects through the sales cycle and create a steady stream of qualified prospects and customers that are flooding in, who pay more, stay longer, and refer repeatedly, just like you said in the introduction to this call, Ken.
You know what's cool, Ken? You know what we almost called this book?
What's that?
How to Increase Sales Without Selling.
Okay.
Right? Because a lot of people don't like to sell. Now, some people like
no.
you. Some people like you, Ken, really good at selling, and you help people become good at selling. But some people, they're just not feeling it, you know? And like Jim, perfect example, Jim could tell you a story about how he got started in business. Why don't you tell him that, Jim?
You want me to tell the resume
right,
story?
Yeah.
Well, this is a perfect example. You know, when I started, when I was in college, I flunked out of calculus, decided that I had to try something different. So I went to advertising, and my senior year I interned at a radio station similar to what Travis had done. Actually, it was a year before Travis was doing his internship, and my college advisor told me that I need to have a resume so I could start to look for a job.
Right.
So I and that's probably important. I know that my mom really would have liked it if I got a job, so... Not that I was living with her, but she would have been happy.
Your girlfriend wouldn't have minded either.
Yeah. So I said, all right, let me do that. So I started getting some information on building this resume, and what I found out was that the traditional resume is supposed to be a page long, and a cover letter is supposed to be another page with like a paragraph on it. And see, can I have an issue? I have a problem, and I had it most of my life. Well, at least I thought it was a problem at first. I'm 5 feet tall.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, according to statistics, I am 99.7% or 99.7% of the men in this country are taller than I am.
Right. If you were 99.7% shorter than the average man, what would that make you, like a centimeter?
I would be like a centimeter tall, but I'm taller than that, thankfully.
The centimeter high marketing guy. It doesn't have the same ring as 5 foot high marketing guy.
So... Basically, on the bell curve, I'm way on the end. And when people, when I was growing up with this, you know, people, I noticed right away that I was being, at some level, being discriminated against. And a lot of people think it's like, a tough thing, a handicap, something that's going to keep me down. But I made a conscious decision early on that I wasn't going to allow that to happen. I wasn't going to use it as a crutch. I was going to turn it into an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I had to do two things. The first thing I ended up doing was developing a personality that was unforgettable. So it wasn't a personality
that
everyone...
That's a nice way of putting it.
It wasn't that a personality that everybody was going to love. It was the personality that was unforgettable. So I was going to be willing to turn off a whole bunch of people because a lot of people are going to be turned off just because I'm different. And they're not going to be able to handle it. Plus I'm loud and opinionated and passionate about what I believe in. So I really... did try to put that out there, put myself out there, so a group of people would love me, a group of people would hate me, and a group of people, you just couldn't move them if you hit them on the side of the head with a brick. So I had a personality that was unforgettable, and the second thing I had to do was learn how to communicate my message in a way that would make people pre-motivated and predisposed to think the way I wanted them to think before they even had a chance to judge me based on my height. So this is what I wanted to do with my resume, going back to the resume. I had a lot to say, and in one page, I couldn't say it all, Ken, because I'm 5 feet tall. I had to overcome that. So I created a resume that was 7 pages.
Okay, 7 pages. That's
seven
a long
pages.
Resume.
And my college advisor fell out of his chair. He said, "You're never going to get a job with that resume." I showed it to Travis. He laughed at me. Everybody thought I was crazy. In the 7-page resume, the first page was, instead of a cover letter, I started my resume with a testimonial letter from a guy I had worked with before. And it would just basically said how good of a worker I was and how good of an employee I was and some of my strengths. And then the second page, which was the normal cover letter, which was a paragraph long, I made a newspaper article, an advertorial, basically an ad that looks like an article. And
you're
being
really, really unique. You're standing out from the pack here.
This is standing out from the pack. My headline was, "UCF graduate vows to make any company he works for filthy rich." And then it had my picture. It looked just like a newspaper. So that was the second page. I had 2 pages of standard resume. And then you know what they say about references in a resume?
Right.
They say only provide them upon request.
Yes, that's right.
I said, you know what? I want these people to call these references because when they get them on the phone, I know that they're going to tell them a whole lot of great stuff about me, and what they're not going to tell them is that I'm 5 feet tall.
And that you need to put...
You're raving fans, I guess.
Right, exactly. So they're going to get on the phone and say, "Hey, this guy's really great. He's a hard worker." But it's not going to come up, "Hey, you're going to have to, you know, put a step stool in the bathroom because he's 5 feet tall. He can't reach the, sink." That's not coming up in the conversation. So I wanted them to call those people, so I put those in there just in case. And then I figured, you know what, people are lazy and they're not going to call, even if I put them in there, so I better put a couple of another testimonial letters or reference letters in there just in case they don't call. I'll have them here, and guess what those letters don't say? I'm 5 feet tall. So I put this whole package together, and I started giving it out to people, and within a week, I got a phone call. I picked up the phone. They said, "Is this Jimmy V?" I said, "Yes, it is." They said, "This is so-and-so from the advertising agency. I got your resume here, and we'd like to hire you." I said, "Well, you'd like to interview? I'd like me to come in for an interview?" He's like, "No. I read your cover letter. You're exactly what we want."
Bam.
So, got the job, right? And when I went in, 5 feet tall, didn't matter. Got the job.
So what happened? So he made the sale without having to sell and without having to deal with what could be perceived as a limitation, you know, a discrimination. An objection. He was able to have the sale made before he even showed up.
See, and so that's marketing. See, when you can put communication together ahead of time that you think out, send it out before you actually have to physically go out,
weed through
your prospects, your potential prospects, and then get someone to buy into you before you have to actually try to sell them face-to-face, the job becomes much simpler and your time becomes much more efficient.
It's kind of like finding a mail-order bride.
Which I've never done.
So what I hear you saying, this is what gravitational marketing is all about. Let me ask you a question. You've got this, I call it, and I've heard this term before, interruption marketing. You're watching TV, you got an ad. You listen to radio, you got ads. You read magazines, there's ads there. Newspapers, you got ads.
Yeah.
You know, versus Netflix, the interruption marketing, say, "Hey, we want to interrupt you in what you want to do, what you love to do, to listen to our message. We're trying to sell you."
Yeah. That's annoying.
Search
isn't
interest.
It?
Yeah, it is. Search interest marketing is when people are searching for your products and services. So people don't, and you said this before, people don't want to be sold, they want to buy. So how could you give us one idea from the gravitational market that you can use to attract customers? I know you have a book, and we're talking to Jimmy V and Travis Miller, Gravitational Marketing. Check out the website, gravitationalmarketing.com. But can you give us one way to track customers without soliciting them?
Yeah, I'll give you a great idea, and it'll fit into exactly how you led into this question.
I know where you're going here, T. It's good.
Okay, good. I'm glad you approve, Jim. It means everything to me.
I approve this message.
And, you know, you said that there's lots of interruption marketing, and it's annoying. Well, you can change the game completely if you understand what I'm about to tell you. See, people read newspapers for the stories, the news. People read magazines for the articles. People watch TV for the shows. They listen to the radio for the music, right? They're not reading, they're not engaging in that activity for ads. People don't like advertising. But
they don't want to be sold.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you go to the mall on a weekend, it's packed with people who are looking to buy stuff.
So you have to think about what it is that people really want. And see, people want to buy stuff. That's definitely true. But they're not really sure what to buy, and they don't like the idea of being influenced by advertising because that doesn't appeal to our higher senses. You know, we feel like we're being manipulated or something. We like to make our own decisions. But consumers are desperately seeking a buying preference. They want a good decision to emerge. They want to see a beacon pointing to one particular product or service service provider to say, this is the one you should buy. Okay, and marketing can provide that if you do it right. See, people want information. They don't want fancy, flashy images. They don't want slick jingles or slogans. They don't want models. They don't want, they don't want long.
They may want models at home, but
yeah,
they don't
sure.
want models
yeah.
in their
advertising. That's right. People want information that will help them form that buying preference. And since people read and view and listen for the information, if you change your advertising, instead of looking like an ad, make it look like information, make it actually be information, all of a sudden you'll find that it has a significantly different result. For instance, we write articles in a number of different trade publications for different industries around the country. And you would not believe the response that comes from a simple article that is value-driven, value-packed, content-rich. Then at the end of that article, we make a simple offer for more information about what we do. And the number of leads, the number of people who come to us ready to buy is amazing. Now, if we had put in place of that article a full-page ad that had a cool image that we downloaded off the internet, a slick model, a great slogan, and we made it look like what people think marketing and advertising should look like, we wouldn't receive one-tenth of the number of calls or visits to our website.
Because that would be an interruption,
mm-hmm.
and that would be not what people are looking for. But, see, in a magazine, if you could make your ad, which you're going to interrupt them with, look more like what they're looking for in the magazine, more like an article, more like content, more like something that they're thinking about, well, then it's no longer an interruption. It's help.
It blends into the content.
Wow. So I see your point, and this is very interesting, but let me bring it down. I'm an entrepreneur. I got to run a business. Now you're telling me I got to write an article in a trade magazine? How much time do I have the day to do my stuff? I got to start writing, become a writer.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, you could hire someone to do it, but as an entrepreneur, that can get kind of expensive for you. But most importantly, Ken, I would say that writing that article is the most important thing you could do for your business. You're familiar with Michael Gerber and the E-Myth?
Yes, absolutely.
Work on your business instead
one
of
my Bible
your business, right?
Right.
Well, if let's take a car dealer, a used car dealer, for instance. He could spend all day moving cars, writing prices on windshields, shoveling snow, driving to the auction, doing tag paperwork, working out customer problems. He could spend all day doing that every day and never get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen if that same guy carved out 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day to intentionally and deliberately focus on creating information that would benefit his customers.
His prospective customers.
See, what would happen is he could then begin creating the information, writing articles, and he would begin to be viewed as an expert, as an advisor, instead of a product pusher.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Now, you do make a point because it's so very, very important that you've got to figure out how can you maximize your time and what's it worth to you? What are you doing? And if you engage in the business of the business, and actually the technology side of the business, and that is the business. You're collecting money, you're talking to people. If you don't set aside some time to explore what you bring to the table and how to connect and communicate with those prospects and attract them, then you're not going to be profitable and successful. But yeah, I do get your point.
Let me also pose it to you this way, Ken. You're a sales guy, right? And as you said, every business owner really is a sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in the scheme of in the time that you have available, would you say that selling is a worthwhile part of that time?
Selling, if I can get the sale.
Well, you never know that ahead of time, obviously.
I'm talking to a qualified prospect, it's worth my time.
It's worth your time. Okay.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, what if that 1 hour you spend writing that article can filter, sift, sort, and delineate 500 prospects and deliver to you 5, 10, 15, 20 qualified prospects? Is that time now worth it?
Absolutely. And I think that's what I hear you saying is a lot of times business owners, entrepreneurs, I know this for a fact, that they don't commit. They don't kind of take themselves out of the role as the technician business owner and start looking at themselves as an entrepreneur. So you definitely have to do that and commit time to marketing your business.
And if you systematize this process as we've laid it out in gravitational marketing, the processes of attracting customers, you can spend an hour of concentrated effort doing something like writing an article, and that hour can turn into saving you many hours of manual sales labor, like sitting down with people to find out whether they're qualified, getting on the phone with them to find, you know, to ask them qualifying questions, and deliver to you a stream of customers who are pre-motivated, predisposed, and to think the way you want them to think, and to buy what you want to sell, and instead of having to do that manually with each individual person, which can take a lot of time. But, you know, to the normal entrepreneur, that seems like a better use of time because it's what they know, it's what they're used to, manually engaging with customers. It seems like it's going to lead to more sales than something like writing an article, which, you know, seems like not what they do and a little bit odd and out of sorts, but actually if done right, that article could be far more effective than an hour spent on the phone trying to qualify one or two potential prospects.
I do see your point. So a lot of times I find out, and you probably know this for a fact, that's why you wrote the book, Gravitational Marketing, is that people don't have a marketing system. Entrepreneurs don't have a marketing system, and you offer that. You talk about there's like 36 sales boosting techniques to put a new spin on traditional marketing, 13 reasons to narrow your target market, your niche. You got 5 pieces of the worst marketing advice ever, 3 vital mistakes that one must avoid when strategizing a marketing plan. This is really interesting stuff. So you can't all share it right now. We've got, let's see what, it's about 11. So we've been talking for about 30 minutes. Do you have any more time? I do have a couple more questions. How are we on time?
Absolutely. We got time for you, Ken, and for your listeners. So fire away.
Okay, we're talking with Jimmy V and Travis Miller of Gravitational Marketing. Check out their website, gravitationalmarketing.com. They've got the book, Gravitational Marketing. And what's the last part of that book?
The Science of Attracting Customers.
Okay, let me ask you. So what is anti-marketing? I think I'm an anti-marketer.
I think you are an anti-marketer, Ken, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs think of themselves as anti-marketing.
Well, you know what? In the sense that you and others think they're anti-marketers, so are we. Now, the good news is anti-marketing is nothing nearly as complicated as anti-matter. You know, when you think of the science of attracting customers, oh, boy, this is complicated. This is not complicated. This is about simplifying things. See, traditional marketing has been created intentionally, okay? This is a conspiracy. It's been intentionally created to be confusing, to be convoluted, to be voodoo-ish. Go to the bookstore.
And so they can be consultants and charge you a lot of money.
So agencies can charge you a whole buttload of money on a commission basis for the money that you spend in high-end media.
If you go pick up any book about branding at the store, or you know, go to the bookstore and look on the shelves of these marketing books and flip through them, your eyes will cross. No wonder you're anti-marketing. So am I. See, this is a book that we wanted to read when we started, because all the other books, they didn't answer the questions we needed, the questions that were the real questions. These were like professors talking about theories about marketing.
Well, what were the questions then?
I got no customers. I got no leads.
I'm sitting in a room with my friend, mm-hmm. and we got two sticks to rub together. How do I find someone to sell to?
Yeah, I got a really great idea. I think it's awesome. I think people would love to buy it. I think it would really help them. And I got no leads, no prospects, and no idea what to do. And this book basically explains how to get started. And if you already started, how to put a systemized plan in place that can simplify your process, speed up your sales cycle, and cause you to have to do a lot less manual labor and a lot more effective lead generation and sales effort.
See, here's the thing, Ken. Most marketing is done just for the sake of marketing. So the people on the 17th floor, they have to create marketing. Otherwise, their department will be shut down.
Yeah.
They create marketing, and they spend marketing just so that they get the budget next year to do more marketing, and they do the marketing just to do the marketing. It's a self-perpetuating, endless cycle that really isn't based on results.
And their marketing that they produce has no effective way to track and measure the results of the money they're spending.
And traditional marketers, traditional advertisers intentionally do this because they don't want the clients and they don't want the sales department, they don't want the CEO or the CFO or the board of directors or the stockholders or whatever or their wives to ever be able to say, how does this work? Oh, well, it's far too complex to really answer that question. This happens over a 10-year cycle by affecting the top-of-mind awareness. And according to the latest Rasmussen poll, 73% of consumers have seen the brand and can recognize the icon. And that should result over a 15-year period in a penetration and a conflagration of the ideas into a certain portion of the population and in our latest focus group, yada, 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 et cetera.
I just hope there's no quiz at the end of this conversation.
Yeah. How about how much money does it bring in tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm anti that kind of marketing, so are you. But the kind of marketing we should all embrace as entrepreneurs is the kind of marketing where I do some marketing today and I got some money in my pocket tomorrow.
I like that. Money's important in business.
Yeah, it kind of keeps things going.
And you know what? And let's take a step back. Let's say, okay, well, what are you guys all focused on just profit and just money?
Green,
okay.
Green.
No, we're not, because there is another tangible yet intangible benefit that comes from it that doesn't put this in the same category as the fluff we just talked about. And that is, it creates, if you're not getting exactly cash in your pocket tomorrow, you're getting deep relationships with customers that you can contact on a regular basis and prospects that you can contact on a regular basis. You're building a database of prospects and customers that you can sell to over and over and over and over again. And you know what? If you're planning on being in business for any length of time other than just a week, a month, or a year, you're going to need that to
sales
create
funnel,
a stable and quality business.
Yeah, attract sales funnel, attract those people. Well, let me ask you, what do you think the biggest mistake that entrepreneurs make in marketing and sales or in their business total? What's the biggest mistake?
Well, the biggest mistake probably is expecting their marketing to do too much. And that's what leads to this sort of this marketing that is all about the company. And their intention is pure. They say, well, okay, I'm going to spend my money on an ad. So, well, let's see, I better put my logo in. And, I'll put the fact that I've been in business for 10 years in here. That's important. And I'm licensed and insured. And let me put all the different services. Got to make sure to cram all the different things that I do in this ad, and then and so basically the purpose of the ad is going to be, if anyone's interested in doing business with me, they'll pick up the phone and call. Now, the intention there is pure, and it seems to make sense because, like I said, the marketing should result in sales and money. But the weird thing is that if you go about it that way, that ad is going to result in nothing. So
now, why is that? Because it's focused on themselves and not the client?
That's right.
The prospect?
That's right. Just as in sales, how does a sales transaction work? You have to begin by a needs analysis, by understanding what it is that this person needs or perhaps more importantly wants, and then to find a way that what you offer fits into that and can help them achieve that want, that desire, or to relieve that pain that they have. And likewise, your marketing needs to do the same thing. It needs to call out a potential benefit, a big benefit, a big promise, or that could be a gain or the dissolution of some pain, whatever it may be. The marketing needs to focus on them. It needs to be focused on the prospect and then offer that prospect not to call you and do business with you, because that's sort of short-sighted. Most people aren't going to make a sales decision based on a small ad. Instead, you want them to reach out and identify themselves as potentially interested by way of requesting more information from you. Okay, it's a two-step, we call it. The first step is they request more information. The second step is that now you have your their contact information, you develop, nurture, maintain a relationship with that person over time that ultimately will lead to a sale.
Which then you can deliver your sales message in a lot more thorough and complex fashion, or in simplified fashion. It's more complicated because you can say more stuff, but you simplify it in a way that makes sense to them. And you have more time to do that. If you try to if you buy a business card size ad in a local newspaper or magazine or something, and you can't possibly make a sales presentation in that ad, an effective sales presentation. But most
they're not ready to buy.
Yeah, most people try to do that. They try to make an ad in a business card size space that does the whole selling job, and it's just impossible. You need to, and as we talked about earlier, people don't want to be interrupted when they're looking at these magazines or reading these newspapers with people who are saying, do business with me. Here's how I liken this to. Here's a little analogy that you can think about in terms of this. Are you married, Ken?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. So you...
I was married some time ago.
Okay. So you're not married. You're a single guy. You probably, on occasion, go out and have a good time and try to meet people, whether it be someone that you would like to have a relationship with further, but you're going out to try to meet people, someone of the opposite sex, let's say.
Right.
And you go up to them, and you wouldn't go up to someone of the opposite sex that you would like to have a relationship with, start a relationship with, and go up to them and say, hey, how about we go back to my place? My name's Ken. How about we go back to my place and have a good time?
Yeah, it didn't work like that.
That would probably be...
It wouldn't work for me. Sometimes that happens, not for me, but for other people. So what I hear you saying is you're looking to build a relationship. This is not a short-term thing. It's a strategic partnership where you're providing value for your clients and customers.
That's right, but also, Ken, you don't start by saying, hey, let's create a relationship together. Let's go steady, you know?
Yeah, you don't go up to them and say, hey, let's go back to my house. Well, the first thing you would probably do is say, hey, can I buy you a drink? And they, what do they say? Most of the time, they say okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I don't know. You haven't been around me. Sometimes they say no.
And you know what, Ken?
That's another show.
Sometimes they do say no. But let me give you the opposite. The opposite chance that you have. Do they say more? Do they say yes a higher percentage of the time when you offer a drink than they do if you were to offer them to go back to your place?
Right. So you have to really, really key in on their wants, their needs, really get into what's important to them, not you.
Well, yeah, and also remember that the people who are going to see your marketing are just people. They're just the people you would meet in a bar. So they're going to react the same. So they're not going to react to a sledgehammer sales effort right off the bat. They're going to want a little seduction, a little, a little romance.
Let's talk. We've talked about gravitational marketing, and we're talking with Jimmy B and Travis Miller, gravitational marketing. You can check out the website at www.gravitationalmarketing.com. Success stories. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
What success stories would you like to share with our listeners?
Jimmy scored 1,000 on Galactica at the restaurant. Yes.
Okay, let me write that down.
I'm a big video game buff.
No, I'm just teasing. I don't even know what the score on Galactica would be. I'll tell you a couple of interesting stories, and, you know, we could literally fill up hours with this, so I'll intentionally keep it kind of brief to give you an idea. But I'll tell you, let's tell two of my favorite stories. One is about a church, and the other is about a dentist. I'll tell about the dentist. A man comes to us, says, been in practice for almost 40 years. He was 63 years old, but very successful already, but feeling like, you know, he had a lot of years left in him, a lot of energy, wanted to continue improving his business, and felt like we would be able to help him. he had developed a particular aspect of his business that turned out to be far more profitable than the rest of his business. You know, the seeing patients and doing cleanings and x-rays and things like that. Well, that wasn't nearly as profitable for him in terms of the amount of time invested and the amount of money he received as was, especially when he had to go through the insurance companies, as was working directly with adults who wanted to straighten their teeth, straighten their teeth, which he was able to do in just 6 months, okay? So, and he was able to do it with only 4 or 5 visits with the person, each under an hour, and the procedure was into the, you know, thousands, several thousands of dollars compared to a $100 treatment to clean somebody's teeth that still took, you know, an hour. And so it was a much more profitable endeavor for him. And he said, I want to build this part of my business. How can I do it? Well, of course, we said you can do it through marketing because, look, the bottom line is you've got a dental office and people are coming through. And if he tries to sell teeth straightening to every person who comes through, that's fine, but he's only got so many people. We've got to start getting people who want their teeth straightened to contact him. And he's not going to go out and knock on doors or go to, you know, networking meetings and try and meet these people personally. We need hundreds of people. We needed 200 people a month to identify themselves as interested in doing this procedure. So where are we going to find those 200 people?
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Yeah, so first of all, what we did is we collaborated with them to write a book called, and you say, I'm just going to write a book, sure. Well, hang on a second. The book was made out of a transcript of a one-hour telephone conversation, just like we're having right now.
Oh.
It was then transcribed for under $100, then edited for under $100, and then formatted into a book that's about 100 pages long and printed at a place called 48 Hour Books, 48hrbooks.com.
Really?
For less than $3
less
a piece.
Less than $3 a book.
I hope you listeners are taking notes here because there's a lot of good information here. And what's that? Go ahead. This is really
it's
good. 40, what's the website again?
Yeah, it's 48hrbooks.com. Or just do a search for 48 Hour Books. And they literally, once they get your file, they'll mail out your books in 48 hours. So in less than a week from the time we started, this guy had printed books in his office, and they looked very professional.
And you say, well, what is this? What did he write a book about? And what can I write a book about? I don't know anything about writing a book. Well, guess what? I guarantee that every entrepreneur knows a whole lot about the business that they do, business that they run. And this book was about how this guy can help people get more self-confidence and change their lives because of it. And because that's what he does for people. And the majority of the book was just stories of the people that he's helped over the years and how by straightening their teeth they gained more self-confidence and they improved and changed their lives as a result.
Now, there's another thing we did here. We gave him a name besides the name his mother gave him at birth.
Uh-huh.
We gave him a name, which was America's Life Transformation Dentist.
Wow, can you help me, guys? Can you help me, guys? This is really... I should cut this conversation and start doing some more writing. Actually, I have a few things. So I need to quit this. I need to stop this conversation and get to writing.
so he became... well, keep having a conversation, then transcribe it. You don't transcribe it. You hire someone to transcribe it. And what's the website you can do that on, Jim?
I think there's a website, eTranscriptionist.
Uh-huh.
.com.
Oh, there you go. And so we created this book, put his picture in front of it. It was called Brace Yourself for Success. Okay?
Wow.
America's Life Transformation Dentist. Expose these secrets how you can, you know, skyrocket your self-confidence, boost your self-esteem, increase your social position in life, and make a whole lot more money. Okay, whatever. All the big benefits that literally, truly came from this procedure, right?
The things that people truly want.
Instead of talking about braces, we've talked about the outcomes that come from straightening your teeth, which is really about manifesting an internal change within yourself about your own self-confidence, okay?
And there's an important lesson there. I want to pause because every business owner needs to know this. When you are creating marketing, you do not want to talk about the things that you provide. No one wants to talk about braces. Braces are painful. Braces are ugly. Braces are not something that's fun and enjoyable.
No, instead, you sell the payoff, the end result of the braces.
Why does someone want braces? So they can boost their self-confidence, they can feel better, they can look better.
That's right. Well, guess what? If you find the percentage of the population who's thinking about getting braces right now, you'll find out that that's tiny. But if you talk to the percentage of population who said, I could really use a boost of self-confidence, that's a lot bigger. And then about, on average, about 40% of the people in the population could use this teeth straightening method that he does. So all we have to do is get, if we can get 200 people to say, yeah, I'd like to boost my self-confidence, well, about 40% of them could actually benefit from this treatment. And now, so now we've got, now we're down to 80 people, and now out of those 80, we just got to look for the people who are interested in doing it right now. And so what we did is, instead of talking about braces, he got on the radio and got in the newspaper, and what did he talk about? He talked about this book, and he offered a free copy to anyone who was interested. And the people they would just go to his website or call his phone number and request the book. And when they did, that automatically told the doctor that this person was a prospect. And so he had a system in place, which we helped him create, using gravitational marketing, and that he didn't have to run. He had employees run this system where they would call the person back and verify the address to send the book to, and while they were on the phone, try and set an appointment with the individual to come in and find out if they were a candidate for the treatment.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. You're attracting the best people to you. And they've already sold. You've already made the sale. I like
that. And that is the process. It's gravitate. We use the book to gravitate people to us, to get them to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm interested in changing my self-confidence, improving my self-confidence, and changing my life and becoming more successful. I'm interested in that. And yeah, I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about brace yourself for success and using, you know, braces to change my life. So I'll raise my hand. Then we sent them the book and called them on the phone, and we captivated them with the message, with the possibility of what it could happen to them because of this transition. We invigorated them with the results, and then we motivated them to take action, to come to us and actually come to the appointment, sit down in the chair, and hear our sales presentation, and eventually motivated them to take action
guess what? It culminated in the sales presentation, but by the time that sales presentation happened, they had a signed, an autographed copy of a book in their hands. They felt like they were meeting with a celebrity, and they'd seen a whole bunch of testimonials and heard and read about a whole bunch of people's lives who have been changed, all through marketing. So when the sales presentation came, it was like taking candy from a baby, literally 80% closing ratio.
Now, I'm looking at stuff because I've done like 10 commentaries or 10 articles. I've got quizzes. I got surveys. I got these podcast interviews I've done. I can have a whole bunch of e-books and books.
You bet.
And
I want to make a point here, because e-books are great, but a printed book
is good. It's better.
And a lot of people will say, well, you know what? I don't want to. You know, it costs a lot of money to get a book printed, and it costs a lot of money to mail a book and this, and you know what? But it really does take a little bit of an investment if you want to shorten your sales cycle.
Yeah, a whole $3 a book.
Yeah, it's a $3 a book.
Basically, you got to ask yourself, is it going to cost you, what is it costing you now, what you're doing, versus what it's costing you?
Yeah.
So,
now, Ken, check this story out. This is a very cool story.
You got like less than about, you got about 7 minutes remaining now.
Okay, we'll make it fast. Couple of guys, pastors at different church. One was a music director, and the other was a pastor at the church. They were brothers-in-law. They came together, moved to Orlando, where we are, and they decided to start a church. They ran into us one time at a meeting. They said, "We love you guys. We would really like for you to help us get our church on."
They read an article about ours in a local newspaper.
That's right.
Wow.
And they called us from the article.
That's right. That's right. And so they said, okay, we read this article. We'd like you to help us launch our church. And we said, okay, us? Are you sure?
We've never launched a church before.
And so we said, all right, great. So in talking with them, the idea, normally what they wanted to do right off the bat was, well, let's put up a billboard that'll talk about the new church, and we'll put up ads in the paper, we'll talk about the new church. Like, they wanted to market for the sake of marketing. They thought that's what they should do.
They wanted to get their name out there.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so instead what we said is, oh, wait. What kind of people do you want to come to your church? He said, we want to make a church for young families. Okay, so young adults who have young kids. That's who we want to help with. That's our niche. Okay, great, which is real important to pick a niche. We don't have time to talk about it right now, but the book goes into extreme detail. So he said, well, what do young families want? Well, you know, there's lots of churches around here, but you know what there's not? There's not anything that's really entertaining with a good, positive message where a young family could take their kids and the kids would fit in, something that was designed for the kids. Like, I've got a child that's 2 years old, and it's very difficult to go to church because she can't sit in church. She's 2 years old. She can't sit anywhere for 10 seconds.
Right.
Okay? But so we said, we want to create an environment where the parents could bring the kids, and the kids could have a great time, and it would be a positive Christian message. So we're going
to. And they'd want to come back.
And they want to come back. The kids want to bring the parents every week. We said, okay, great. And we helped them. By the way, they did this on our encouragement when we said, you got to create something unique. So they came up with this idea. They created this program, and they actually like licensed this. They found a show to license, which is called Kid Stuff. And so they went through months of preparation to plan this Kid Stuff show. And so, all right, now we changed the game on them dramatically, and we freaked them out. We said, all right, now here's what you're going to do. We got to make people ask for tickets for this. They said, what? Are you crazy?
tickets
to come
to church?
You don't need tickets to come to church. We said, this isn't church. This is a show. And so now, instead of advertising the show and said, come to my show, we advertised the show and said, hey, get free tickets. Now, they were free. But what happened, people had to contact them to get tickets. Well, they were getting, I mean, like 1,000 requests, a request for 1,000 tickets, right? Now, not everybody showed up, but on their very first service or show, they had over 300 people show up. And that was unheard of. That was an absolute record-shattering attendance for the first day at a new church like this, and they were thrilled. And guess what? The weekend before, there was another church down the street that was opening, and he had done all the advertising about, you know, new church,
get
come on,
name
site,
out
get
there.
Your name out there. Well, guess what? That weekend before that his church was going to open was the weekend that one of the hurricanes came through Orlando, and he had to cancel that first service. And he ended up putting the whole thing out of business. The church never launched because they had poured all their money into promoting this first weekend, and it got shut down by a hurricane. But in our case, with our guys, because we made people request tickets, they had a database. And so if the hurricane had canceled their service, they could have reached out by email, telephone, and mail to tell everybody for very inexpensively that we had moved the date of the service, and they still would have been able to launch.
They could have sent them new tickets.
Yep.
You guys are good. So am I... What are the best industries for your ideas?
You know, I got to tell you, we've worked with car dealers, to churches, to dentists, and dog, you know, photography places, and
mortgage brokers, real estate agents.
Really, if here's what's best for us. Let me say it differently. Here's who gravitational marketing is best for: the person who is in charge, to some degree, of getting business. So if you're an owner, that's you. If you're a salesperson who's got to create your own book of business, that's you. If you're a marketing manager, that's you. And Ken, I want to, and it's a sort of a tight fuse on this, but I want to make this opportunity available to everyone listening to this.
Sure.
I'm going to give a website. Write this down.
Okay.
gravitybook.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S. gravitybook.com/gifts. There are a lot of people around the country who believe in this book, and they want to promote this book to get into the hands of as many people as possible. People like Jeffrey Gittimer, who you've heard of, and Larry Wingate, who's a TV personality, and Christine Comerford Lynch, a best-selling author right now, and Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. They are supporting this book. And what they've done is they've provided bonus gifts that are very valuable to us to give to anybody who buys the book right now. And so if you go to that website, it's got all the details. You can click over and order it from Amazon. Come right back to that.
I think they actually put our book on sale today. It's down to $16.
Oh, the book is on sale today. Well, that's cool. So you buy the book for $16. You can come back to our page and enter in your Amazon receipt number, and you will access a ton, an absolute slew of bonuses, which include an actual CD-ROM video presentation from us that we'll send to you for free.
In the mail.
Oh, wow.
In the mail, yeah.
Oh, man.
So,
okay, guys, why don't you give that website again? And we've got probably less than a few minutes, but give us the website again.
Sure. It's gravitybook.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S. Now, we've been very fortunate. We've been now for a few days number one marketing book on Amazon. We were the other day, we were down to number 21 overall in all books. You know, we were beating the Politician's books and Oprah Book Club books and The Secret books and all of these famous books. We were above, on the bestseller list. So a lot of people getting behind this book and getting real excited about it, and I'd encourage you to check it out, too. And also, come to gravitationalmarketing.com because there's a lot of additional free resources there that you'll benefit from.
So you give free stuff away.
We basically, Ken, it's all about, and this is a core principle of gravitational marketing, giving value up front. So I want to give to you because I know that when I give to you, you will find value in it, and then you will, when you need me or if you know someone who needs me, they will come back to me and we'll be able to help them. So it's all about giving, and but in a smart way. I'm going to give to you so I can help you, but I'm going to help you realize that you might need additional help. And I think that that's important. And you'll find that additional help on our website and through our partners and everyone who's out there who can help small business owners, entrepreneurs, and independent sales professionals.
Okay. As a wrap-up, I got to ask you this question. You've got a Facebook group called Reject Recession.
Mm-hmm.
What is all that about? And then we'll wrap up the show.
Sure. Well, Reject Recession is real simple. You know, there's lots of talk about tough times, bad economy, you know, recession looming or maybe already here. And a lot of business owners historically respond to recessions by bringing their heads into their shells like a turtle, or, you know, just trying to batten down the hatches and wait out the storm until it's passed. And we say fooey to that. We say the opportunity in a recession is to continue marketing, to continue innovating, to continue employing, to continue being a contributing member to the economic
prosperity
of this country. And history has proven that companies who continue to market and build their business during a recession come out far better than those who stop. So if you want to kill your business, then get scared during this recession and turtle up. If you want to grow your business, ignore the recession, reject the recession, and push forward, and you will come out on top.
It's don't let the negativity get to you. Don't let the and have a positive mindset. Have a positive mindset and a plan to push forward, and you will benefit. Not only just survive during a recession, you'll actually thrive during it.
Wow, that's powerful. That's very, very enlightening, very empowering message. So,
and actually, on the group, it's a whole bunch of entrepreneurs sharing ideas on how to do just that. So it's a free place for people to come together, share ideas, encourage one another, and deliver a lot of value to help business owners and entrepreneurs overcome the recession by doing positive and making positive change in their business.
So how does somebody reach you guys through Facebook?
Well, if you're a member of Facebook, just do a group search for Reject the Recession, and it's an open group to all. You can just click join, and you'll become a member, and you can start participating in the discussion forums and posting on the wall there. And Travis and I monitor the group and post as well, so it's great.
Okay, all right then. So as a wrap-up, what do you want entrepreneurs to learn from our conversation today, Jimmy V and then Travis?
Well, what I want entrepreneurs to learn is that marketing isn't slimy, isn't theoretical, that it's practical, it's simple, and it's vital. And I want them to understand that they can do this, and they don't have to look and feel like a product pusher. They can actually become, through marketing, a trusted advisor and make their business and their lives more ESP, enjoyable, simple, and prosperous.
Yeah, well said. And Travis Miller, what do you want listeners to get from our conversation today?
Well, the primary goal of mine would be for people to realize that despite whatever frustrations or difficulties they're feeling or having right now, despite the adversity that they may see in their business and the struggles that they have, that there are solutions and there are ways to make this thing work. So if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner and you feel like your business is not really is not taking off the way you want it to, or it's not growing the way you want it to, there really are solutions. And you know what I would say? I would say this: stop chasing and start embracing. Stop chasing rainbows and, you know, gimmick ideas that may work but usually don't, and start embracing the things that make you unique and special and ideas that are proven to work, like gravitational marketing, and you will enjoy the prosperity you are seeking.
Oh, well said, well said. Thank you so much, Jimmy V and Travis Miller, for being on my show. Really appreciate it. I learned so much, and I know the listeners learned a lot, too.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for having us again.
You got to come back. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Really, really did. So when are you coming back?
Well, we'll have to set something up.
Second round, okay.
All right,
All right.
Let us know. We'll come back for round two. Ding, ding.
That's Jimmy V and Travis Miller. Check out their book, Gravitational Marketing. Check out their website, gravitationalmarketing.com. And, again, that's the show. So what have you learned today? More importantly, how you apply this, you know, buy the book, got to buy the book, Gravitational Marketing. Specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase your profitability? So if you're looking for a second opinion, contact Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer. If you've got a question, a guest idea, a topic of interest, contact me via the podcast email. And so as you know, E3C, we're all about profitability and support, outcomes, positive outcomes. We've talked with Jimmy V and Travis Miller about positive outcomes. Check out last year, we have E3C Connect. We connect over 500 business-to-business connections. And then this year, we've done about 153 so far. So check out our networking sessions on Tuesday morning from 8 to 9. That's Eastern Standard Time. So if you're interested in connecting with passionate entrepreneurs, that is the place to be. So if you listen to this program on Blog Talk Radio, definitely, definitely check out. And please rate, comment on the show. Technorati, dig it, delicious, stumble upon. Please like to hear from you because there's a lot of people download the show and put your comments. It's a good way to get your name and your company out there. Don't forget to check out the website, e3c.podomatic.com. That's e3c.podomatic.com, e3c.typepad.com, and e3c.passionentrepreneur.tvwiki.com. And don't forget mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. So that is the show. Let me part to you. Dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, and above all, stay profitable. Let's get some music on. Thank you, Brian Hunley, for the music of New Wine Music, providing our bumper music. And we enjoy it very much. The show is good. The weekend's here. Let's celebrate and put some music on. Until later, take care.